I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the session, I want to wish every one of you a very happy, blessed, and joyous New Year. May this year be one in which you will be prospering in the service of the Lord. And we will prosper in the service of the Lord if we are willing to surrender ourselves to the Lord for Him to make use of. If you are willing to see ourselves as stewards of the manifold grace of God that He has given to us. So this morning, we want to begin the year with this message, Beholding Wondrous Things Out of God's Laws. The theme for our year is given to us in Psalm 119 and verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous the things out of thy law. Now let's read that verse together. Psalm 119:18. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. My friends, that's our theme for the year. Open thou my eyes. Now we read that passage earlier on, 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 to 18. I'd like to read this passage again to you. Now the context of this passage is this. There was war between Syria and Israel. And there were mysterious occurrences that mystified the king of Syria. Because wherever he sent his army to, the children of Israel were able to avoid them. Now, how were they able to avoid them? Now, he was very suspicious of his servants, and he thought that some people among his servants had become traitors, had become betrayers, and they had provided information to the enemies, the Israelites, with regards to where the Syrian army was going. So this is the context of this verse, this passage. I'd like us to look at 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel. So there was war between Israel and Syria. And the king of Syria took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And verse 9, and the man of God here refers to the prophet Elisha. The prophet Elisha sent unto the king of Israel, his king, in other words, king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel, having heard what Elisha said, sent to the place which Elisha told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once, not twice. So, many times, yes, the children of Israel were saved from the attacks by the enemies. Verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, who among us is a traitor that provided information to the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. In other words, those things that you thought of in private and spoke of in private, Elisha knew. Yes, as a prophet he knew, and he had provided that information to the king of Israel. Verse 13. And he said, the king of Israel said, go and spy where Elisha is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore send him there horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and surrounded the city. Verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, the servant here refers to the servant of Elisha, the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host surrounded the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto Elisha, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? We are surrounded. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Verse 17, and listen to this prayer, okay? Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. You see, that's the key. open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. These were heavenly hosts, armies from heaven that surrounded Elisha and his servant to protect them. Verse 18. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite these people, I pray thee, with blindness. And the Lord God smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Open his eyes. Until the servant opened his eyes, what he saw was only physical. Until his spiritual eyes were opened, what he saw was only physical. Now what did he see? He saw that they were in danger, surrounded by the enemies. And what else did he see? Of course, he saw the invading army, or the army that was surrounding the city, and that was what he saw. But when his spiritual eyes were opened, he saw the unseen. He saw what was real. He saw reality. He saw the truth. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. My dear friends, we need for ourselves to have our spiritual eyes open. Until our spiritual eyes are open, we will not be able to see reality. We will not be able to see the truth. Now today I speak the truth to you. I speak the truth to you because I'm speaking from God's word. If it is not from God's word, you can dismiss it as something that is not true. But I speak to you from the word of God. But friends, when I speak to you the truth, you may not be able to perceive the truth. Now why may you not be able to perceive the truth? Yes, you may not perceive the truth because your spiritual eyes are not open. That's the reason. And you may register the things that I speak to you in your mind, but nothing more than that. It doesn't affect your heart. It doesn't speak to your heart. They are just facts, names of people, names of places. I talk about Elisha, king of Israel, king of Syria, and so on and so forth. These are names to you, that's all. And Dothan is just a place to you, that's all. They mean nothing to you. Then you may say, yeah, you sure, I understand you are talking about the Son of God, you are talking about God. Yes, I know I understand all these things. And I know, I also recognize that what you talk about perhaps relates to the history of God's people, the Israelites. And then maybe you also remember the messages that I preached to you from this pulpit. Because I very often repeat the messages. Week after week I say the same thing. And you become so familiar with them, you know them. But friends, they mean nothing to you because they are registered only in the mind. You may also be able to memorize Holy Scriptures. You may be able to recite them. But they're all registered only in the mind, but not in the heart. Yes, they don't move your heart. Your heart is unmoved. There is no change in you. You are as spiritually dead as ever because your spiritual eyes are not open. Your morals, your lifestyle, your sense of values all remain the same. Your attitudes, your worldliness, your idols all remain the same. Now I give you an example. You might not like what I say, but I give you this example. For example, last summer we reminded you about dressing modestly. And you took heat for a while. And then for a few weeks, maybe a month or two while summer lasted, you listened to what was the reminder. But then, come this summer, what happened? You revert to the same old behavior. Again, you come back with immodest dress. Have you repented? You say you have repented. If you have repented, then you should not be repeating what you did before. So, my dear friends, I urge you to check yourselves. Yes, we all need to check ourselves to see whether or not we truly have repented, whether our spiritual eyes have really been opened. If they really have been opened, then we must necessarily bring forth fruits of righteousness, fruits of repentance. Yes, you must. If you don't bring forth fruits of righteousness and fruits of repentance, it means that your spiritual eyes are not open. Spiritually, you are dead. Yes, dead. Friends, our spiritual eyes need to be open. Otherwise, we are spiritually blind. And as I said, not only blind, but we are spiritually dead. Separated from the one true living God. When the great apostle Paul brought the gospel to the city of Philippi, there was a woman there who responded to the preaching of the gospel. She was none other than Lydia, the seller of purple. And we read this in Acts chapter 16. I'd like us to turn to Acts chapter 16 and look at verses 13 to 15. Acts 16, 13 to 15. Acts 16, 13 to 15. Verse 13. Acts 16, verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. In other words, she responded to the teaching of Paul. Verse 15. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now the word of God says this in verse 14. Yes, a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord had opened her heart. Yes, the spiritual heart is very much connected to the spiritual eye. She saw the truth. She opened her heart, and then she received the truth into her spiritual heart. And this woman was thoroughly converted. She responded to the teaching of the great apostle Paul, and straight away she showed Christian traits. She showed Christian hospitality to Paul and his fellow missionaries. She showed forth fruits of righteousness, if you like. Friends, if you are spiritually blind, you are spiritually dead. You are living in darkness. But you think that it's very, very normal because your spiritual eyes are not open. You are living in darkness. You are blind. So you do not know what light is. You think it's normal to be living in darkness. Until your spiritual eyes are open, you will not be able to see what a wretched sinner you are. Until your spiritual eyes are open, you will not be able to see that you have broken every of God's laws. Until your spiritual eyes are open, my dear friends, you will not be able to see that you are children of wrath, exposed to the righteous wrath of the one true living God. Until your spiritual eyes are open, you do not know that you are lost. And until your spiritual eyes are open, you do not feel that you need Jesus. No, you say you don't need Him because your spiritual eyes are not open. And you will say, I'm good enough. As many people say, I'm good enough. At the end of the day, I'm good enough. I've been charitable. I've been a good citizen. I've been a good father. I've been a good husband. I have been doing unto others as I would others do unto me. And therefore, I'm absolutely all right. On the day I stand before the one true living God, I will be all right. My dear friends, you'll be too blind. You're blind. You will not be able to see that your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of the one true living God. Because you are blind. But once your spiritual eyes are open, you will be able to see the true condition of yourself. How wretched you are. A sinner, condemned, heading for eternal hell. So this morning, I urge you to pray that the Lord will be very, very gracious to you. That the Lord will open your spiritual eyes so that you will see your wretched condition and see your need for the Lord and come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Why did you do that? On the first Lord's Day of the year, if you are still outside your kingdom, if you are blind spiritually, why don't you receive spiritual sight today? Come and believe in Him. Until our spiritual eyes are open, we will have no spiritual discernment. Yes, no spiritual discernment at all, because spiritual things have to be spiritually discerned. We will be like that proverbial six blind men who were brought close to an elephant, and they were asked to determine what an elephant was like. The first man touched the trunk of the elephant. He said, the elephant is like a tree branch. The second man held the tusk of the elephant, and he said, "The elephant is like a hard pipe." The third man felt the ear of the elephant, and he says, "The elephant is like a big fan." The fourth man says, "The elephant felt the leg of the elephant." He said, "The elephant is like a tree trunk," and so forth. The one who holds the tail says, "The elephant is like a rope." Yes. Now, my dear friends, like those blind men who could not determine what an elephant was because they were blind, friends, we will not be able to discern the truth because we are spiritually blind, or if we are spiritually blind. And not only will we not be able to discern the truth, we will also not be able to discern untruth. Truth and untruth, we will not be able to discern. And when presented with the truth concerning miracles recorded into the Word of God, they say, "Oh, there must be some explanation for these miracles. Miracles could not have happened." And so when you tell them about the miracle performed by the Lord Jesus Christ in feeding the 5,000, the spiritually blind will say, "Oh, there must be an explanation for that." And so they say, "Well, it must have happened this way. The little boy brought out his 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and people saw the selflessness of this little boy, and they all felt very, very bad. So everybody took out his food and shared it among the 5,000. So in the end, everybody got fed." But what was the explanation for the 12 baskets of excess? No explanation. Yes, you see, the spiritually blind are so blind that they are not able to discern the truth. And so they must always think of some untruth to try to explain the truth. For sure, if you are spiritually blind, you will not be able to discern spiritual things. This morning, the Word of God will be very dry to you. Yes? Do you feel that the Word of God is dry? If you feel that the Word of God is dry, it simply means this. You are spiritually blind. The Word of God is very dull to you. Why? Because you are spiritually blind. The Word of God is meaningless to you, lifeless to you. You are spiritually blind, that's why. You do not see the Word of God as the Word of God. You do not see it as a manual for holy living, the manual for the right kind of living. You will not see this as God's love letter to you. Do you see it as God's love letter to you? If your spiritual eyes are open, then you must see this as God's love letter to you. You will not see it as a lamp from God to light up your feet. You will not see it as light that lights up your path for you. No, you will not see it as such. You will not see this as the words of everlasting life. You will not see it as essential food for your soul. You will not see it as a treasure chest in which there are lots and lots of treasures from the one true living God to you. No, you will not see all these things. Why? Because you are spiritually blind. That's the reason, my dear friends. For sure, if we are spiritually blind, very often we are very self-righteous. We only see the sins of other people but do not see our own sins. Like the Pharisees of old, we would all be able to see the tiny little specks that are in other people's eyes. But we can't see the big beam, the big planks that are in our eyes. Yes, we are like that half-wit, half-wit who wore a cloak. And in front of his cloak, he had sewn big patches of cloth, colorful cloth, big patches. And then behind him, he had one small little patch. And so when he was asked what those big patches represented, he said, "Oh, these big patches, oh, this represents my neighbors on my left-hand side. This patch represents the sins of my neighbors on my left-hand side. And this patch here represents my neighbors on my right-hand side. And this patch represents my neighbors in front of me," and so on and so forth. All those patches represent the sins of other people. Then when he was asked about the little patch behind on his back, he said, "Oh, those are my sins, but I don't see them." That's what he says. "I don't see them." Friends, so long as we behave like this half-wit, or like the Pharisees who were no better than the half-wit, and be so self-righteous, our spiritual blindness cannot be healed. How can we be healed of our spiritual blindness if we do not recognize that we are blind? My dear friends, we must see our spiritual blindness first. Recognize that we are spiritually blind before we may be healed of our blindness. The Lord has made it very, very clear. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, I'd like us to look at that verse. Mark 2, 17. Mark 2, 17. Mark 2, 17. Mark 2, 17. When Jesus heard him, you see, he heard the Pharisees and scribes talking among themselves. They were criticizing the Lord Jesus Christ for eating with the publicans and with sinners. He saith unto them, when he heard what they said, he said to them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I come not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. If you want to be healed of your spiritual blindness, you must recognize that you are spiritually blind. I come not to call those who are whole. I come not to heal those who are whole, but I come to heal those who are sick. I call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. My friends, it is not God's will that we remain spiritually blind. He is not willing that we continue to remain in a state of blindness. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But how can we open our spiritual eyes? Can you open your spiritual eyes on your own? We can't. We can't open our spiritual eyes on our own. And you know that I suffer from macular degeneration in one of my eyes, my right eye. Now, there was a time when the degeneration was so bad that if I didn't go for treatment, I think I would go blind in that eye very, very quickly. But thankfully, a new drug had appeared in the market. And the doctor was willing to try it on me. So I went for treatment under this doctor. And since then, that was ever since a few years ago, since then, for every 6 to 8 weeks, I go for one injection into my eye. And then my eyesight is being maintained in this right eye. But supposing I'm quite a crazy fella, let's say I'm obsessively a DIY person, so DIY to the extent that I say, hey, I don't need the doctor to do the injection for me. Maybe I do it myself. Then I go, somehow I'm able to get the Lucentis, which is the drug for this treatment. I'm able to get it, and I do the injection into my eye. I try to do it into my eye. You look at me, you say, hey, you are crazy, right? Crazy. You should go back and see your doctor and have the doctor treat you. You can't do it yourself. Of course I can't do it myself. So you see, even doing an injection into the eye to heal or to stop the degeneration process of the eye is something that is virtually impossible for me to do. I can't do it myself. I need a specialist. I need that doctor to do it for me, the specialist doctor to do it for me. Now what if I'm totally blind? Am I able to heal me myself of my blindness? Of course I can't. But yet there are people who think that they can heal themselves of their spiritual blindness. Did you realize that? There are such people. And they try to do it by their religion. They try to do it by their meditation. They say that if I meditate long enough, or sincerely enough, earnestly enough, then I will get enlightenment. I will be able to see. And that was what my mother thought. Yes, years ago, she was aging at that time, and she was a very unhappy woman, no peace in her heart, no joy in her heart. So one day what she decided to do was to bring an idol into her home. So she brought it into her home. I remember it was put in a glass case, and then she would sit before this idol and she would hold her rosary and she would chant and chant and meditate deep into the night. She did that every night and every night and every night. But did she get the joy and the peace that she wanted to get? No, my dear friends, she never got them. Did she get the enlightenment that she wanted to get? No, she never got them through that meditation, not through her religion, until the day she came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord opened her spiritual heart, and then she received the Lord Jesus Christ into her life. And what a joyous woman she became. She was 70 plus, and then she started serving the Lord as of that time. She even became an usher in the church, and she would be one who would take offering in the church too. Yes, she came to trust Jesus at that age. The Lord opened her spiritual eyes, and she saw the truth. Now it is clear, my dear friends, we need the Lord Jesus Christ to open our spiritual eyesight. We can't open our eyes ourselves. You take the case of the great apostle Paul. Remember, Paul was operating religiously in the state of spiritual blindness. He thought that he was serving God by persecuting the Christian church in those days. And he thought that he was doing well with God because he was observing the laws of Moses, so he thought, and thought that he was also observing the traditions, the Jewish traditions that were invented by the Jewish religious leaders. And he thought he was doing well, blameless before the one true living God. The Lord had to open his spiritual eyes to let him see what a great and terrible wretched sinner he was. And so that happened. When he was on the road to Damascus, the Lord struck him down with blindness. For 3 days he could not see. Yes, the Lord spoke to him, opened his spiritual heart. And as if to show him how spiritually blind he was, the Lord struck him blind for 3 days. He couldn't see for 3 days, and people had to lead him into the city of Damascus, where he met this man by the name of Ananias, and God, through Ananias, healed the great apostle Paul, gave him his physical eyesight. But more importantly, his spiritual eyesight was given when he was on the road to Damascus. It is clear, my dear friends, the Lord must open our spiritual eyes so that we will be spiritually sighted. Only He can do it, not ourselves. But friends, like the psalmist, we must have the desire to have the Lord to open our spiritual eyes first of all. You must have that desire. If you don't have that desire, God cannot open your spiritual eyes. Now, we have seen doctors doing voluntary work in Africa. And some of these doctors are eye doctors. And they would go to these villages to serve the people in the village. And every time a doctor goes into a village, you'll see long queues of people. They queue up to be treated by the doctor. Now let's say a doctor comes to a particular village. And then in the village, of course, the people will be lining up to see him. And he is an eye doctor. And let's say that in this village, there is a man who lives in a mud hut, and of course all the villagers live in mud huts. And he has got an eye disease. But friends, he doesn't care. He doesn't make an effort to go and line up to queue up to be treated by this doctor. Will he be healed of his eye disease? My dear friends, no. Because he doesn't make the effort to go. He must be willing, he must be desirous to have his eyes open, then his eyes will be open, but not until then. There was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ was coming close to the city of Jericho, where he healed a blind man of his blindness. We read this in Luke chapter 18. I'd like us to look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And verse 38. Luke chapter 18 and verse 38. Now, the blind man. And he cried, the blind man cried, verse 18. The blind man cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him. You see, the people were discouraging him. In other words, they were telling him, keep quiet, shut up, you know. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, nothing could stop him from crying out unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And verse 40. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. Friends, he was desperately wanting to have his eyesight restored. Yes, he wanted desperately for the Lord to give him the eyesight, and the Lord gave it to him. My dear friends, we must have that holy desire. Today, if you are spiritually blind, if you don't have that desire, my dear friends, you remain spiritually blind. Yes, like it or not, you will be blind. You must be willing to come before the Lord and say, Lord, please heal me. Yes, I desire to have my spiritual eyesight. Please heal me. Until you are willing to say that, until you sincerely mean it, you will be spiritually blind. But surely, we say, the eyes of the psalmist were already opened. Why did he have to pray this prayer? Open thou my eyes. Remember, he was a believer. But why did he have to pray this prayer? Open thou my eyes. Now the truth is, our eyes are opened by degrees. In other words, they don't open right away, very, very wide, and we'll see everything and everything. No, they open by degrees. And we have this illustrated for us in Mark chapter 8. If you turn to Mark chapter 8 and look at the case of this blind man whom the Lord Jesus Christ healed. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 24 and 25. Verses 24 and 25. And he looked up. The blind man looked up. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ had already started the healing process on him. And he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. He didn't see men as men, but he saw them as trees walking. After that, Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored. And this time he saw every man clearly. My dear friends, for us to grow in the faith, our spiritual eyes have to be opened wider and wider, so that spiritual things become clearer, clearer and clearer to us. When we first became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our spiritual understanding was so little, so we didn't see spiritual things clearly. They were very vague to us. But when we grow in our spiritual understanding, we grow in faith, then our spiritual understanding will increase. Things, spiritual things, will become sharper and clearer to us. Like the psalmist, my dear friends, we must pray this prayer. Open thou my eyes. Will you make that your prayer this new year? Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That is the prayer, my dear friends, we must make for the year. This is the theme for the year. Now, specifically, what did the psalmist pray for? Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That was what he desired to have, to understand, to see, to behold wondrous things out of thy law. Until our spiritual eyes are open, we would be blind to the wondrous things that are in the Word of God. We will be like that blind boy. A boy who was born blind, and then one day the mother brought him to see the doctor to have his eyes treated so that his eyesight could be restored. And the treatment was successful, so light slowly entered into his eyes. And one day his mother brought him outside of the house and uncovered his eyes. And then he saw the beautiful blue sky. He saw the beautiful trees, the beautiful flowers. They saw that they were all colored. Yes, for the first time he understood what colors were. He saw the butterflies, he saw the bees, he saw so many beautiful things. And then he cried out to mother, "Oh mother, why didn't you tell me that they were so beautiful?" Mother said, "I tried to tell you, but you could never understand." Today, my dear friends, if you are spiritually blind, you will not understand the beauty of God's Word. Sure. He said, dull. Nothing interesting in God's Word. Yes. Not applicable to me. Obsolete. Applicable only in ancient times. My dear friends, if you think that way, God's Word is not beautiful to you, it means you are spiritually blind. You don't see. If you see, then God's Word becomes very beautiful to you. You will be able to appreciate many wondrous things in God's Word. You will be able to appreciate the riches, the comfort, the goodness, the joy, the peace that may be found in His Word. My dear friends, you find this in God's Word. If you don't find them there, something is wrong with you. You are spiritually blind. Now let's consider a few wondrous things that we may be able to find in God's Word. What are some of the wondrous things that we may be able to find in God's Word? Now, I think one of the most wondrous things that we may be able to find in God's Word are His doctrines, the doctrines of God. Now, what do you think is the most wonderful doctrine in God's word? I mean, in your opinion, what is the most wonderful doctrine? I tell you this, for me, the most wonderful doctrine in God's word is this: God loves me. My dear friend, that is the most wonderful doctrine. He hates my sins, but He loves me. He loved me so much that He went to the cross of Calvary to die for my sins. That is the most wonderful doctrine. Don't you think so? Yes, most wonderful doctrine. Died for me, He was buried, on the third day He rose up again from the dead. So that today, if I were to die, I know that one day I shall rise up with Him. That is the most wonderful doctrine. Now the next most wonderful doctrine I find in God's word is this truth. Salvation is by grace, through faith. I don't have to work for my salvation. I just need to come to trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I just have to reach out and receive salvation from the one true living God. My dear friends, that's a wonderful doctrine indeed. And then the next wonderful doctrine is this truth. That once I'm saved, I'm always saved. I will not lose my salvation. God has saved me. He paid for my sins by His precious blood. He has given me salvation. I will never be lost. Now the next wonderful thing in God's word are the precepts of God. You know, God's precepts are very, very wonderful. Yes, He tells us this truth, that we may be able to please Him. Now that's a wonderful precept. Did you realize that we are able to please Him? Actually, God does not need us to glorify Him. Did you know that? We cannot add anything to God's glory. God is absolutely glorious. He doesn't need anything from us. No matter what we do, we cannot profit Him. No matter what we do, we actually cannot please Him. We cannot add anything to His glory. Yet He tells us that we may be able to please Him. Isn't it something very wonderful? Friends, something very wonderful indeed. And He tells us how we may be able to please Him. He says, "Thou shalt love me with all your heart, soul, mind and strength." So wow, how to do that? How to please Him? I can't even see Him. I don't even see Him. So how do I please Him? But God tells us how we may be able to please Him. He says, "Thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself." So if you want to please God, love your neighbors. Yes, that's how we please God. Love your neighbors. Love one another. Now we all belong to the same household of faith. True? Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now if our spiritual eyes are really open, we ought to be loving one another as He has commanded us to love. Now if today we are not loving one another, something is wrong with us. We don't appreciate this beautiful precept that we can please God, and we are not appreciating this beautiful precept that we can please God because we are spiritually blind. So as simple as that, my dear friends, if we don't love one another, it could be that we are spiritually blind. That's why we are not loving one another. If our spiritual eyes are open, we will appreciate this precept, and surely we will love one another. Then look at the innumerable promises in God's word. Wonderful promises. Promises upon promises, promises upon promises. The last two services, we talk about the promises given by the one true living God. Today I'm going to say some promises that we find in God's word also. Acts chapter 16 verse 31. He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Now if we believe on Him, will we be saved? Yes, truly believe, truly repent for our sins, we will be saved. And He says to us, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live. Because I live, ye shall live." How wonderful a promise. He rose up from the dead. What He's telling us is this: if you die and are buried, one day you will rise again also. Just as I live, you will live also. And this wonderful promise that He's given us is given to us in John chapter 14. Remember, my favorite verses: "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He will come back to receive us unto Himself. And that's a promise from Him. Will He or will He not come and receive us? Yes, he will. He is true to his promises. And then we may feel weak and faintish. We may feel very, very weary in our service to him. But he promises us strength. He tells us this in the word of God. He give up. I think it's good for us to look at these verses, all right, for our service unto him. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 verses 29 to 31. Isaiah 40, 29 to 31. Isaiah 29 to 31. I read for you. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What a wonderful promise. Yes, we may feel very tired in our service for him. We may feel weary witnessing for him. But this is the promise that he has given to us. Yes, we may feel very weary doing our studies for the Lord, serving him in our work and so forth. But he says, I give you strength. If you wait on me, you shall mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not be weary, and you shall walk and not faint. Like the psalmist for this year, let us pray this prayer. Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Our spiritual eyes need to be open for salvation. Until your spiritual eyes are open, you do not have salvation. Our spiritual eyes need to be open so that we will have discernment, so that we will be able to discern truth, so that we will be able to discern untruth. And only he can open our spiritual eyes. And if we are desperately crying out to him to open our spiritual eyes, he will surely respond. He will surely open our eyes. And as we said, we can't open our eyes ourselves. Our spiritual eyes may be opened only by God's mighty Holy Spirit. If we come today in the Lord, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to ask him to open our spiritual eyes, he will never, never turn us away. Remember in the days when he was on this earth, in doing his ministry on this earth, by the Sea of Galilee, there were thousands and thousands of people who came to him with all kinds of diseases, with all kinds of sicknesses, with blindness, dumbness, deafness, and so forth. And when they came, did the Lord Jesus Christ turn them away? No. So if you come, he will not turn you away. He will grant you your heart's desire. And once our spiritual eyes are open, we will be able to behold wondrous things out of God's laws. And what are the wondrous things? Number one, the wonderful doctrines we talk about, right? The wonderful precepts in his word and the wonderful promises in his word. We will be able to see all these things once our spiritual eyes are open. A man who owned a small estate wanted to sell his small estate. So he called for a housing agent and asked him to write an advertisement for him to sell the estate. So, but before the advertisement went out, this housing agent brought the advertisement to this man. And this man said, you read me the advertisement. So he read the advertisement. After hearing it, he said, why didn't you read it again? Read it again for me. And so he read it again. And he said this to the housing agent, I'm not going to sell my property. All my life I've been looking for such a property as advertised by you. And all along I didn't realize that I have it until you said it in your advertisement. And that's true, my dear friends. We don't have to go all over the places in the world to search for spiritual truths. They're all here in God's word. We don't have to go all over the world to search for the philosophies of man, to have the real meaning of life, to understand what life is all about. It is all here. All the wondrous things are all here. But friends, to perceive all these wonderful things in God's word, our spiritual eyes must be open. And so today, and as of today, let's pray that the Lord will open our spiritual eyes so that we may be able to behold wondrous things out of his word of life. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, You know our hearts, O Lord God, and you know whether our spiritual eyes have been opened or not. Lord, we pray this morning for those whose spiritual eyes have not been opened yet. We pray that you'll be very, very merciful to them. We cause them to have this holy desire to have their eyes open. And may they come to you this morning and ask you to show mercy on them. Lord, we pray that you will be very gracious to them, that you will, in response to their prayer request, open their spiritual eyes, so that they may be able to behold wondrous things out of thy law. And for those of us who have already trusted in you, we know that our spiritual understanding may not be good enough, not deep enough, not sharp enough. Lord, we pray that you will open our eyes so that we may be able to perceive very, very clearly the wonderful things that you have for us in your Word of God, even your doctrines, your precepts, and your promises. Lord, we pray that you will be with us throughout the year, and as we pray this prayer, Lord, we pray that you will be pleased to answer this prayer for your glory. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.